this morning. We're glad that you are with us. We especially want to welcome those who are visiting with us. We're delighted by your presence. On one occasion, the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the Corinthians. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's really what God's gospel is all about. That's what God's eternal plan was all about. Everything in the Old Testament was pointing ahead toward that occasion when the Son of God, who had come into the world, would die as a sacrifice on that cross, and then ultimately be resurrected from the dead and ascend to His royal glory. Paul says, "I didn't try to teach you anything else but that." And all that's involved in the cross of Jesus Christ and that gospel message, that all sinners upon the crucifixion of Jesus. Brethren, if you're going through some struggles in your faith as a Christian, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to take time to contemplate the cross of Jesus Christ and what He went through. If you're having a problem overcoming temptation in your life, you need to spend more time thinking about Jesus and what He went through on the cross for you. That's what it's all about. And God knew in His wisdom that that's all that it needed to be about, because that's everything. And there's the motivation that we need. There's the rebuke that we need when we're overcome by sin. There's that empowerment that we need when we're just struggling in life and struggling to live that Christian life. It's the cross of Jesus and contemplating all that He went through on that cross that will absolutely be the secret, that answer that we so desperately need. I want to talk with you this morning about Matthew's account of the crucifixion of Jesus, just one portion of this. You know, there's not a lot said in the New Testament about the actual crucifixion procedure. Not some big description about what was involved in crucifixion. It wasn't necessary for the original readers of these Gospels. They all knew very well what crucifixion involved and what it meant. But here's what Matthew says in Matthew 27, verses 45 and following. "From the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of those who were standing there when they heard it began saying, 'This man is calling for Elijah.'" What caused Jesus to utter those words? "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" There are some people who, I believe, have an erroneous concept of this. There are some, it really goes back to Roman Catholic doctrine that says that, well, Jesus so became sin on the cross that God turned His back on Him, in the sense that Jesus, in some metaphysical or spiritual way, experienced what hell would be like. And I don't believe that's what the text is talking about there. Matthew never gives any indication that that's, in fact, the Bible nowhere gives any indication of that. That's really not the point. Jesus is our substitution, and He did present Himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for us, but not in the sense that somehow Jesus had to then experience what hell was like. That's really not what the Bible's talking about here. I don't believe. But what is all this? And why does Jesus on the cross cry out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, those words are the very first line of Psalm 22. A psalm of lamentation in the Old Testament Psalter that depicts a righteous sufferer who is crying out in abject perplexity at why God has allowed him to be abandoned over to these evildoers who are torturing him to death. And it really is a cry of absolute perplexity and not understanding why he has to go through all of this. That's what Psalm 22 is talking about. And it was a psalm that was part of that Jewish hymn book. The Jews would have sung that psalm and other lament psalms very much like it constantly as they would come to the temple, and constantly that psalm, other psalms like it, would have been sung by the temple choir that was there. And so this was something that was very well familiar, and some people have suggested, and I think, again, this is not exactly the point. Some have suggested, well, okay, Jesus wasn't really emotionally feeling all this. He was just citing the first line of that psalm so that his audience would be reminded of Psalm 22, and you know, they would use the first line as a kind of title for a psalm. And so Jesus was just trying to direct their minds to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And if they would think about that psalm, they would see how that psalm depicting a righteous one being tortured to death, that then they would see that everything that was going on with Jesus was fulfilling the words of that psalm. Well, I don't think that's quite it either. When you look at Psalm 22, it's very clear that the one who's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? No, he feels that. He emotionally feels that. So I don't think we can just say that, well, Jesus wasn't really feeling that. He was just trying to give the title of Psalm 22. No. Now, Jesus in his agony, and Jesus in his humanity, and Jesus in all of his emotion, as he is being tortured to death, now Jesus cried out, meaning every word of that, my God, why have you forsaken me and delivered me over here to this band of evildoers to suffer like I'm suffering right now? Why have you abandoned me to this fate? And that's really, I think, what you see when you just read Matthew's gospel. In fact, the original readers of Matthew's gospel, there's no line in there from Matthew saying that those words are a quote from Psalm 22. There's nothing in there that would suggest that, okay, Jesus was just citing that passage. No, Jesus felt that agony. And that's the emotion that he was experiencing. And it seemed like God had just abandoned him. And he is perplexed as to why this is so bad and why he's having to go through all of this. And the thing that just kind of, to me, just twists the knife in this whole thing is that even though I do believe, as I said, that Jesus felt all of this and legitimately was expressing his emotional perplexity at this time, if those people who were standing there, those Jews, if they just thought about it and thought about those words that he uttered, and if they had been reminded of Psalm 22, they would have seen that all that was transpiring was in fulfillment of the words of that psalm. But here's the ultimate indignity and the twisting of the knife, so to speak. They misunderstood what he said.
They misunderstood what he said.
Eli, Eli, my God, in Aramaic. Well, it sounded enough like Elias, Elias, the name of Elijah. But they thought he said Elijah, was calling on Elijah. Why is Elijah abandoned of all things? And of course, what probably helped the Jews in that misunderstanding were a couple of things. First of all, the Old Testament had said in Malachi chapter 4 that one day Elijah would come to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And so Jews were expecting, that, this is how they interpreted, that Elijah in the last days would literally come down from heaven and he would have some part to play in those end time events. And so they didn't quite understand what Jesus said exactly, and they thought he was calling out for Elias, Elijah, for help. I think the other reason why they didn't quite understand him, it's kind of hard for a man who's being crucified to enunciate real well. And I've often thought about that, how they just misunderstood Jesus on that occasion. Doesn't that symbolize how they misunderstood Jesus throughout his whole ministry? Hadn't the Jews always misunderstood Jesus? Hadn't his own disciples always misunderstood him? How many times did Jesus give teachings and the people didn't fathom what he was talking about? Even his own disciples didn't understand what he was talking about. And really here at the very last moment of his life, once again, they just misunderstand him. They don't get it. And I've often thought, if Jesus on the cross heard their comments, I'm assuming that he would have. Oh, he's calling for Elijah. I just imagine Jesus having to, they didn't even understand what I said there. And he sure didn't have the strength to try to correct and say it again. I mean, this is what we're talking about here, folks. And I think sometimes we become so familiar with these events and these passages, we don't really stop and make ourselves imagine and envision what it was like and what is being described here. Now, I think Jesus is absolutely crying out in the perplexity and human emotion and not understanding why God is having him go through all this. And we ask the question, but didn't Jesus know that he was going to die? Didn't he know that? Well, sure he knew that. In fact, Jesus, about 6 months before he had come to Jerusalem, as Matthew 16, verse 21 indicates to us, he called his disciples to him and he said, "We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be delivered up to the chief priests and the authorities, and he's going to be crucified and then rise again on the third day." He knew he was going to die. And he knew that those authorities there in Jerusalem, they were going to be the ones who would kill him. He told that to his own disciples. Well, someone says, well, did he not know that he was actually going to be crucified? That's how he was going to die. It would be by means of crucifixion. Yeah, he knew that too. He understood that. He understood that crucifixion was that mode of execution that the Romans would use upon slaves like the Jews when they were found guilty of some capital crime. He understood that when he would be put on trial, that those Romans who were in charge, they would inflict upon him that ultimate tortuous kind of death, crucifixion on a cross. He understood that. In fact, the Romans crucified Jews all the time.
for any kind of insurrection or alleged insurrection or riot or those kinds of things. Always as a warning to Jews. In fact, as Jesus grew up in Galilee, there were events that happened historically that surely Jesus would have been aware of growing up. He understood firsthand. He probably had seen people who had been crucified. He'd seen the results of crucifixion. He understood that. Well, then why is he crying out, my God, why have you done this to me? Why have you forsaken me to this fate? As if somehow he didn't understand ahead of time that it was going to be like this. Well, I think if you just stop and think about it and contemplate, I think what caused Jesus to cry out in his human emotion, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because he didn't know how horrible it would be. Oh, he knew he'd be killed. He knew he'd be killed by means of crucifixion. He knew what was involved in crucifixion. But he'd never had to go through that before. He had intellectual knowledge of his fate, but now he was having experiential knowledge of what God had delivered him of. Now he was having Roman soldiers strip the robe off of his back and take that scourge and rip the flesh off of his body. Now he was having to go through that. And now he was having to experience those Roman soldiers take spikes and just drive them through his wrist to affix him up to that cross and take another spike and drive it through both of his feet and then lift him up and hang him up there like a piece of meat. And everybody, after they'd stripped him naked to shame him, that's what they did. And there he is hung up there between heaven and earth. And now he was experiencing all of that. And all the pain and all the agony and all the indignity and all the shame and all the torture. And he never had known it was going to be that hard. Why did he go through all that? Do you know what the Romans would do? They wouldn't just nail a victim up to the cross. Do you know what else they would do? They would take a little block of wood and they would nail that to the center spike right down just below that victim's buttocks so that that crucifixion victim could not sink down so far as to asphyxiate himself too quickly. It would keep you from, at the moment of losing all your strength, from just sinking down and finally just suffocating. Instead, it prolonged the torture for as long as it possibly could be. They were experts in all that. And Jesus now is having experiential knowledge of all that. He knew this was God's plan. He understood that. But my God, I never knew it was going to be like this. Why? Why have you abandoned me to all of this? Do you know why God did that? Do you know why Jesus went through all that? He suffered all of that because of your sins and my sins. Okay, let's get real specific here. Do you know why Jesus had to be abandoned by God to that fate, as horrible as it was? Because you had to tell that lie. Because you had to look at that internet website with all of its immorality. Because you chose to not be the kind of wife that you should be. Because you chose to not be the kind of father that you should be. That's why Jesus went through all this. Jesus didn't just die for sin in general. I think so many times, brethren, we just sort of just take the personal element and all the impact of it away. Well, Jesus died for my sins. Just some generic statement. No. Think about those particular sins that you and I commit. Think of those. Okay, that sin, that's why Jesus was affixed to that cross. That's why his back was ripped open with that scourge. That's why he went through all of that. Because of those sins that you and I choose to commit. Because, well, we just have to do that. Because I just can't say no. And the fact is, we don't say no. And God, in his mercy and his amazing love for us, inexplicably said, I want to redeem those people. And that's what it took for God to redeem. You know, we talk sometimes about how Jesus had to die for our sins. A lot of ways to die without this being the way. But Jesus didn't just come into the world and then when it came time, okay, he peacefully died in his sleep. Apparently, God said, that's not sufficient. Okay, he's supposed to be a sacrifice for sin. But even those sheep and those goats that would shed their blood as a sacrifice, it was a quick death. Yeah, shed their blood, but it's over, it's quick. And yet God apparently said even that's not. It has to be not just a death, but this kind of death with all that's involved in this. And I've often thought, why did it have to be like that? I don't know. And I think that's what Jesus was perplexed with. Why? Why have you forsaken me to this? Why has it had to be this bad? And is this really what was necessary? And apparently, yes, it was. Because that's how bad your sin and my sin is. And that's why he went through that. That's what you need to think about when you're having struggles in your life. When you're having difficulty in life, persevering as a Christian, you come back to Christ Jesus, him crucified, and you contemplate that. When you're having trouble with temptations that you just can't seem to overcome, or maybe your problem is you're not that concerned about your sin. Maybe that's our problem a lot of times. We need to come back to Jesus Christ and him crucified and think about it and understand that all those sins, each and every one of them, and think about them in your own case particularly, that's why Jesus endured that on the cross. Because you had to choose to do what you chose to do. And God wanted Jesus to save you from all of that. I tell you what, folks,
If we contemplate the cross of Jesus Christ, it will shock us out of our spiritual lethargy. And it will make us the kind of people that we need to be. It'll make us able to forgive people when we ourselves have been forgiven at such a great price, such a great cost. And so often we just don't want to forgive people. Think about the cross of Jesus. And then tell me you can't forgive somebody who sinned against you. I'm telling you what, folks. Paul said, I didn't know anything else except this. And that's what the gospel is all about. And that's everything in a nutshell. And if you and I will truly contemplate all of this, it will absolutely change our life around. I wonder if there's someone this morning who will allow the cross of Jesus to change their life around. Do you need to become a child of God? Do it now. Have you been an erring Christian? Think about the cross of Jesus and make your life right now. Won't you do that while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement?